Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
Hey, it's a joy to be back. I've always looked forward every time I've been invited to come. And Bert, thank you. And I appreciate Mike. You guys are in my prayers. Good to see Terry. I hadn't seen her in quite a while. And of course, I see Barbara regularly and love her and David and the whole bunch. What time do we end? Because I'm a stickler for time. 10:30. That's good. You usually don't get me up this fast. Gene, how are you doing? But that's good. I don't mind to have a little longer time. I always struggle when I'm invited to this setting, where to go as far as God's Word. And I was in evangelism for a number of years. And when you go to a church, let's say for the first time, and you're going to preach a week's messages, Sunday morning through Wednesday night, God has given you a lot of messages over the years, but you want to make sure for that particular church setting that it's the message for that night. And I know pastors and evangelists struggle. It's all God's Word, but you want to make sure it's the message for that hour and for that group of people. And so when I'm invited here, I sometimes struggle exactly, God, the direction you would want me to go. And so up till last night, I was going one direction. But after last night and into early this morning, I felt the Lord leading me in another direction. In fact, I'm going to share with you what I shared with our church last night. And I do believe it'll be an encouragement to your heart. On Wednesday nights for a number of months, we have been in a study on Elijah. I love the prophet Elijah, God's prophet of fire. And we've been calling it, Where Are God's Elijahs? You remember what Elisha asked when he picked up the mantle after his mentor ascended to glory without having to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He went to the Jordan River, and with that mantle he smote the waters. Where is the God of Elijah? And God mightily parted the waters to affirm to Elisha, I'm still where I've always been. I'm on the throne. And I'm going to do in and through you and even greater things than I did in and through Elijah. And so the question is not where is God? We know where God is. But where are God's Elijahs? Where are those men of God on Mount Carmel, standing in the gap? And where are those women of God standing in the gap making a difference? And so that's where we've been going on Wednesday nights for several months. And last night we've come to chapter 19, where we find Elijah, the great man of God, beneath a juniper tree, ready to throw in the towel and just give up altogether. And it's amazing the difference in what a few hours made in the life of this man of God. In chapter 18, we find him on the mountain, filled with the power of God, evidenced in his prayer life as God brought fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. But just a few hours later, he's so depressed, he's ready to give up. Listen to what David Jeremiah has written. The reality is that godly believers sometimes get depressed. As you examine depression, you discover that sooner or later, people who know the Lord find themselves going through a difficult moment, a down moment, a depressing moment. Depression has been called the common cold of the soul. I told our church just a few weeks ago, for whatever reason, I have been feeling a little bit down. Perhaps after Christmas, after moving into our new sanctuary, a lot of times depression will hit us after a high, after a time of success or a moment of great victory. But I think we all at times experience the common cold of the soul called depression. You may not believe it, but it's true. The greatest preacher who ever lived other than the Apostle Paul, and of course we're excluding Christ, he was in a class by himself. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, battled depression big time. You may or may not know that Spurgeon started a pastor's college. And during that pastor's college, he would train over 845 men that they sent out to preach the Word of God. But on Friday afternoons, the great Spurgeon would take time out of his schedule, and he would give an hour to talking to those students about all kinds of subjects. And those talks that he gave, he ultimately placed into a book that we now have, Lectures for My Students. And in that great book that I have a copy of, and I'm sure some of you do, he's got a chapter called The Minister's Fainting Fits. We may have pastors among us today, or maybe those who were once in the ministry. All of you here at CMDA are in the ministry per se. And folks, I don't have to tell you, we who are in the ministry at times succumb to depression. We experience those fainting fits. May I quote the great Spurgeon? Speaking to ministers, our work, when earnestly undertaken, lays us open to attacks in the direction of depression. Who can bear the weight of souls without sometimes sinking to the dust? Passionate longings. Passionate longings after men's conversion, if not fully satisfied, consume the soul with anxiety and disappointment. To see the hopeful turn aside, the godly grow cold, professors abusing their privileges, and sinners waxing more bold in sin, are not these sighs enough to crush us to the earth? And he's right. Another quote from the man of God. How can we be otherwise than sorrowful, while men believe not our report? And the divine arm is not revealed. All mental work tends to weary and to depress. For much study, Solomon said, is a weariness of the flesh. But ours, who are in the ministry, is more than mental work. It is heart work, the labor of our inmost soul. How often, and boy, I can attest to this, on Lord's Day evenings, do we feel as if life were completely washed out of us? After pouring out our souls over our congregations, we feel like empty earthen pitchers which a child might break. This morning during our time together, I want to share a study I'm going to call Elijah's Fainting Fit. Elijah's Fainting Fit. The great prophet himself succumbed to depression, and perhaps there are those listening today, if not there, you're close to casting yourself down in the wilderness, but underneath that broom tree, which is what the juniper tree was, ready to give up. Let me read our text, and then I want to share with you four good reasons for Elijah's depression. Here's the text, 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. And here was his big mistake. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey, a marathon distance, into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Folks, after all he witnessed in the two preceding chapters, with God doing in and through him to the glory of God, with all that he'd experienced, he's now feeling like a failure. More pastors, Bert, write out their resignation on Monday mornings than at any other time of the week because they feel like failures. And like Elijah, they cast themselves down to depression. Let me give to you four reasons I believe that he came to the place of wanting to give up completely. Number one, Elijah lost his faith. Not his saving faith, but his trust in God in the set of circumstances in which he found himself. The Bible says, and when he saw that, when he saw what? When he saw that the wicked queen of Israel, Jezebel, had put a bounty on his head. And when he saw that, he ran for his life. Now that's hard to believe. If it weren't in Scripture, we might not believe it. After what we read of his life in the preceding chapters, but what I love about the Holy Spirit, it presents the saints of God as they are, warts and all. Successes and failures. God lets us see it because all of us are just like them, fellow strugglers. You know 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. Now listen carefully. You today in your Christian journey are either walking with eyes of faith, and therefore you're seeing him who is invisible and invincible, or you're walking with eyes of flesh and you're seeing her, Jezebel, who is vicious and violent and is after your life. When we are walking in the Spirit and we are walking with eyes of faith, we won't be prone to depression. Why? Because our confidence is in God. We will be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" That was Elijah in chapter 18. We will be able to say with David in Psalm 56, verse 4, he said, "In God I will put my trust. In the Lord I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." When we are walking with eyes of faith, our eyes are up there, not on what's going on around here. But when we fail to walk with eyes of faith and start walking with eyes of flesh, all of a sudden our focus has gone from Jehovah to Jezebel and her threats against us, and we run scared, and that fear ultimately brings us, Gene, to the juniper tree of depression. You may be down this morning simply because you're no longer walking with eyes of faith. You're not trusting God in your present set of circumstances, and you've started to run scared. I love this quote by the great man of God, A.W. Pink. "Hitherto, Elijah had been sustained by faith's vision of the living God. But now he lost sight of the Lord and saw only a furious woman." How many solemn warnings are recorded in Scripture of the disastrous consequences of walking by sight? Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, and made choice thereof. The majority report of the 12 men sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan was, "We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Walking by sight magnifies difficulties, paralyzes spiritual activity. It was when Peter saw the wind boisterous that he was afraid and began to sink. Again, I ask, what are your eyes this morning? Eyes of faith or eyes of flesh? That was Elijah's first problem toward depression. Number two, Elijah lost his fight. When we lose our faith, we're going to lose our fight. You go back to the preceding chapter, what a man of God on Mount Carmel. He challenged the 850 false prophets to meet him there on the mountain. And you know the story well without having to go into detail. He called upon the name of Jehovah God. God answered by fire. It consumed the sacrifice, the altar. It licked up the water. And then he proceeded to kill those false prophets, all 850 of them. You talk about power. And here is why he had that kind of power. In chapter 18, he was walking with eyes of faith. His eyes were on God. But just in the very next chapter, he has lost his fight because he's lost his faith. You know the story well of David and Goliath. David, the shepherd boy, sent on an errand by his father to check on his two brothers who were in Israel's army. He shows up at the right time. The Israelites were on one mountain, the Philistines were on the other mountain, and a large valley in between, and that 9-foot-9-inch giant named Goliath showed up. And I want you to listen to what happened. And as David talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, and David heard those words. And here's what I want you to see. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, their eyes of flesh saw the man. Their eyes of flesh saw Goliath because they were no longer walking with eyes of faith that would see God. When they saw the man, they fled from him and were so afraid. In other words, because they had lost their faith, they lost their fight. But oh, young David, he still had his eyes in the right place on Almighty God. And listen to what David said. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And later David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Because David had not lost his faith, he had not lost his fight. He was still as bold as a lion. And he went, and with a sling and 5 smooth stones, he only needed but one. Goliath fell down dead, and with Goliath's sword, he decapitated the great champion of the Philistines. When we lose our faith, we lose our fight. And I'm confident, even in this room, there are some of you who have lost that fighting spirit. And you're just now going through life trying to get through another day. But that fighting spirit that you once had on Mount Carmel, it has dissipated. And friend, when you lose your faith and lose your fight, it'll bring you to depression. Number three, he lost his friend. He lost his friend. We earlier read that at Beersheba, for whatever reason, we're not told, he left his servant there and went alone into the wilderness. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, said it well, 2 are better than one. I cannot overemphasize to you the importance of strengthening friendships. Those true friends who stick closer than a brother, who love us at all times. Those true friends who love us enough to confront us when they see things in our lives that should not be there or should be there. Those are the true friends that you and I need to keep from falling to depression. But I have seen it, and you have seen it over your lifespan. When people begin to isolate themselves from those strengthening friendships, their loved ones, their co-workers, their friends, they begin to go alone into the wilderness, just like Elijah. And eventually they fall down to depression. And woe be to them that are alone when they fall, because they don't have another to help them up. I cannot overemphasize the need of you being actively involved in your church. I want to give a word as a pastor to those of us in ministry such as you are. It's easily done. You can allow your ministry and work with CMDA to become a substitute for your church life. That's not good, nor is it biblical. This is but an extension of a local church, as is every ministry. And friend, you need the strengthening relationships of your church family. That is why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because when we're together, we do the one another commands in Scripture. We bear one another's burdens. We pray for one another. We serve one another. We encourage one another. And if that is not going on in our lives, and I see it weekly as a pastor, people begin to drop out of that small Bible study called Sunday school, or they quit coming to the women's circles or the men's ministry, and then they begin to skip out on church here and church there, and all of a sudden they're out there in the wilderness alone, ready to throw in the towel. We need each other. God made us for each other. You got to have each other. And He left His friend, His servant at Beersheba. Number four, Elijah lost his fuel. This guy was running on E, empty. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, he was on E. And folks, when you're on E, you'll soon be on D, depression. Some of us in this room, and perhaps watching by live stream, we're burning the candle at both ends. And I do believe, to be transparent, part of my problem is exhaustion. The ministry is demanding, and we can find ourselves on the go constantly, not getting the R&R that we need. And I know for you in ministry here, there are a lot of responsibilities on you. Not just here, but when you're at home. But folks, God did not make us to just go and go and go and go like the little bunny rabbit. Because we will eventually come to the place of empty. And we will be completely spent. That was Elijah's problem. And I wished I had time to talk about God's remedy for his depression. He let him sleep. He let him rest. I'll close with this quote. Many of you know the name Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's now in heaven, one of the greatest preachers of Great Britain ever produced. But before he went into the ministry, he was a medical doctor. And here's what he said. There are some in whose cases it seems quite clear to me that the cause of the trouble is mainly physical. Into this group, speaking generally, you can put tiredness, overstrain, illness, any form of illness. You cannot isolate the spiritual from the physical, for we are body, mind, and spirit. The greatest and best Christians, when they are physically weak, are more prone to an attack of spiritual depression than at any other time. Perhaps the best medicine for some of us is a day off or a week off, just to get away, to relax, to rest, to be renewed. Now, I know that's easier said than done. Someone said that they would rather burn out and rust out for Jesus. Either way, you're out. Either way, you're out. And so maybe God wanted me to share this for me again, and maybe for you. Let's pray together with our heads bowed. I know some of you in this room, but certainly not all of you. And the one thing I don't know about any of you is where you are at this moment in your walk. And there may be an Elijah among us. You're experiencing a fainting fit. You've come to the place you don't want to go on. Don't see how you can even go on. And maybe you've decided, I'm just going to give up on life and upon everybody and everything. Friend, you're not the first to be under that broom tree in the wilderness, nor will you be the last. But I know this much: God doesn't want you to remain there. And I would love to pray for you. I really would. And if that is where you are this morning, no one looking but me, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Scott, boy, I needed this. This is where I am. I want you to pray for me." Anybody? God bless you. Are there others? Lord Jesus, we all experience that common cold of the soul. We get down and out. Paul said he even despaired of life. Was it not David who said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" The man after God's own heart had his own seasons of depression. So, Lord, I pray for these who are struggling, that they will be encouraged in the Lord. The Bible says of David in one of your beautiful chapters of Scripture that he strengthened himself, he encouraged himself in the Lord. It also says that Jonathan encouraged him as well. So, Lord, thank you for those friendships, those Jonathans, those Barnabases that you have given us, those true friends. Father, keep your hand on CMDA. God, guide Mike and all of this wonderful team. May they keep walking with eyes of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.